I have never really listened to Primus. I've always thought I could get into them. I've liked the idea of them. I consider myself pri-curious, but with a band like Primus, where do you actually start? Like, which album should I go all in on? Should I do a greatest hits? Should I do the This Is Primus playlist on Spotify? Should I start at Frizzle Fry and work my way down? What should I do? And there doesn't seem to be a general consensus amongst Primus fans. Like, some people have told me Pork Soda is a really interesting album to get me into the band. Other people have suggested Antipop might be more my jam. None of them have recommended Primus and the Chocolate Factory with the Fungi Ensemble. But my worry is that I get into an album and I'll be like, oh, I listened to, you know, Tales from the Punch Bowl. And someone will be like, oh, yeah, that's a pretty good album. But, like, Les Claypool he was really into, like, replacing microphones with felt hats for that recording. So it's not the best representation of what the band could be. I mean, I'm in over my head on this one. Well, luckily, I have met Roxanne. Now, I recently met Roxy on my whirlwind trip to Darwin. We got along like a house on fire. She's awesome. Such a great sense of humor. So funny. She's an artist, a musician. She's owned a record store, and she's a DJ as well. And so, Roxy, let's get straight into the DJing stuff. If you're DJing a night, what are three songs you are definitely always playing? What are your go-to tracks?
Oh, God, that was, like, so much. There was, like, so much in that intro.
Have you met me?
Yeah, true, actually. Yeah, you just said, like, there's so many things to answer. And I get what this podcast is about now. It's, like, because I think that's how I felt about Primus when I first started listening to them. But my intro was their videos, and because when I was growing up, my dad would record videos off Rage about 2 or 3 in the morning and stuff, and he'd stay up on a Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, we would all wake up and we'd be watching videos, music videos and everything. And Primus, Mr. Crinkle was on there, and that one actually freaked me out when I was a kid. And then I, like, went and watched it when I was older, and I was like, yeah, it's still, I get why I was scared of that video. I think I started with the videos, and then I, because, like, those songs probably were in my head. Obviously, Jerry Was a Race Car Driver. That was the other one. And then I started, I think actually having the record store is what sort of got me more into it. And I was listening to Primus on repeat probably for the last year. That was, like, pretty much on every morning. And I think everyone around me hated me for that. I would just be blasting it out of the record store, and that was how the day would start.
So would you say Primus are, like, your safety band? You know, when you're feeling sick or you got nothing, you're like, I don't know what to watch, and people often put on, like, Friends or The Office or Seinfeld. Is Primus your go-to?
I don't know. I think I've overdone it now with Primus.
You OD'd on the Primus.
Yeah, well, I don't have – no, I wouldn't say that, actually, because there's probably other stuff that if you have a go-to, it's probably stuff that you grew up with as a kid. I only had a little bit of Primus when I was a kid, and it freaked me out. So it's not, like, a safe place. I think it's too scary to be a safe place. But the only part of, like, the safe place for me would be that it's sort of an arty group, I think. And I was looking at, because I was, like, trying to prepare myself for you hating them. So I was sort of listening to everything and going through their back catalogue.
Yeah, I haven't said I love them yet.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to achieve that by the end of this, but anyway. So I was listening to Rhinoplasty, and I realized that, well, that album is just them doing covers of everyone. And one of the covers in there is a Peter Gabriel song. And Peter Gabriel is, like, one of my gods because he's, like, yeah, or just, like, an artist. And I don't know, I like the combination of art meets music, and that's pretty much what Peter Gabriel is. And I think the influences that Primus has, I do probably connect with a lot more. Like, so there's a lot of King Crimson references, and I think they have one song that starts with YYZ as well. They have, like, the intro, the drum intro. And they do, I've seen a cover of them doing Telehun Ginji from King Crimson, and I think Les Claypool actually makes it better. But yeah, that's, like, another that could stir some pots. But anyway,
that was a very politician's answer of not answering the original question. What are your three songs in a DJ set?
I forgot the question.
I reject the premise of that question.
What was the question again? Can you tell me?
What are your three go-to bangers in a DJ set?
Oh, right. Just generally, people are always, they don't want anything like Primus, and I learned that the hard way. Fat Boy Slim makes everyone happy and stuff, and Groove Armada and all of that shit. Like, everyone's happy with that stuff. Yeah, or just any EDM. I just go for some random EDM and they'll be happy.
And you alluded to DJing Primus, and that does tie into how we actually met. But what is it like when you DJ Primus? What happens to that dance floor?
You clear a floor. That's what you do. It was like, I've never seen a floor clear that fucking quickly. And I also, that was like most of the set was Primus. So I was like, I'm fucked, basically. And I was just like, I was up there laughing because I was just like seeing, watching them like just all turn their back and leave, and I couldn't do anything. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to start going through some old set lists and stuff and trying to find stuff and scrape it together and bring them back. And I think I got like two people back at the end of it, and yeah, they'd all just turned their back on me, and it was like a disaster.
I'm sure the club promoter was so happy with that as well.
So the event was called Snackbox. And I did the poster for it and everything. And my interpretation of Snackbox was basically food. And I went for like fast food, and I went for like junk food and stuff and whatever. And so Primus to me looked like a gold mine. So I had like shake hands with beef in there and all this shit, and Mr. Crinkle and all this stuff, and then pork soda. And like, yeah, it was just like everything like that. And then I had ZZ Top's Burger Man in there, and I had just like sort of junk food related stuff. But I don't think anyone got my vision.
It's all over the poster. I gave you the warning that this is what was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I started with selling on the Caesar cheese. I started with that. And then I think everyone was like, what the fuck is going to happen now?
Yeah, if this is how she's warming the crowd up, where do we go from here?
Yeah, so like it was like, so it's two other DJs as well. So I was in the middle. So like the first chick that was on, so like I said, Snackbox, right? So they went for snack as in like a sexy snack. And there was like,
as in like two people or?
Yeah, or like twerky stuff, you know? And yeah, I had no chance in that sort of environment. I'm friends with the two other DJs and stuff. And well, the other one of them knows Primus, and she was just standing in the audience shaking her head and laughing too, and it was just it was a terrible experience. I was dressed in a friend of mine had made me a costume for it because I wanted to have a McDonald's uniform on, but I couldn't make that happen because no one would give me one.
I had to get a job. I had to go through the hiring process.
Yeah. I was like, do I have to get a job at McDonald's for this to fucking happen? But yeah, so a friend of mine just went and made me a uniform, and then I wrote on it, McLovin. Yeah, that was my name tag.
You've made some very odd choices straight off the bat here. Quite a bit. And it all comes from the snack box. What venue was that at?
That was at Happy S. I don't think you got to go there.
No, sadly I didn't. Well, not physically, but could you open up your high-tech phone for me and look that up on Google Maps?
Okay. Are you serious?
Yeah, please look it up. Can you go to the reviews section?
All right. How the fuck? I don't even know how to do that on my phone.
Oh, I hate your social phone.
My phone sucks.
You said WhatsApp would break it.
Reviews, here we go. Ah, incredible place, amazing music, and even better DJs who aren't afraid to play some Primus. Ah. That's awesome.
I threw it out there. I mean, I don't know if anyone's responded to that, but yep, that's my review of the venue. I haven't been to, but amazing DJs. Now, you mentioned you played Jerry Was a Race Car Driver, and that's sort of how we got talking, because we were watching a young man called Tommy the Gun up on stage at a party in Darwin that we were both at, Airbase to Jerry Was a Race Car Driver. And you turned to me and said, I DJed this at a club and it cleared the fucking floor.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, that is funny. I was like, I got to get you on the podcast. You might be the person to get me into Primus.
Yeah.
And so I think we owe a lot to Tommy the Gun, yeah? Well, I've done some hard-hitting journalism here, and I've prepared something, and I've gone deep into the psyche of Tommy the Gun. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, okay.
I arrived at my hotel in Darwin just a little after 2 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Well, actually, it wasn't a hotel. It was an Airbnb because all the hotels were booked. But I feel like hotel fits the vibe I'm going for. So I'd arrived at my hotel, and
I looked out my balcony at a very, very quiet city, looking out over the bay. And it was a view that really struck me, and I'd never really seen anything like that before. And that was kind of an omen for what would be happening later that night at my friend Chris's birthday, where I would see something truly remarkable.
My birthday party. We had table tennis, a piñata. We had some good food and lots of drinks. But we also had karaoke.
Karaoke? How could this be? Where technology and human expression are fused together on a stage in the spotlight for all to see? I'd been on this party's guest list for months and I had not heard anything about karaoke. How long had this been on the cards?
I think it had always been on the cards, but I certainly didn't know how to do it, so I was not being in charge of that. Probably 2 days before the party, my bandmate Sam came up with the goods and was like, I know exactly what to put together and how to make it happen. And so Sam was responsible for making the karaoke come to life.
I was doing the karaoke setup for the Christo's Big O 5-0 party extravaganza.
That's Sam, the man behind the karaoke, the mastermind of it all. Someone who had a front row seat to a truly spectacular moment.
As and I progressed, the song choices started to get more and more obscure. We had an Ice Insane Clown Posse ICP cover done at some point. Tommy the Gun slid up to me and suggested that he wanted to do a Primus song. Jerry was a race car driver.
That's right, Tommy the Gun, a man who mere hours before had bested me at table tennis, was planning to sing a Primus song at karaoke.
Honestly, I was just looking through my music playlist because I already did a song before, and like I was just thinking, I was like, what can I play? What can I play? What can I play? Then I saw Primus and I was like, that might actually not be a bad idea.
And whilst that little seed of magic had been planted, and all it had to do was blossom into its true beauty, its final form, if you will, it wasn't all smooth sailing because Sam was in charge of the karaoke. He has a responsibility to the party, and Primus is not a tried and tested party banger.
Pedro came up and goes, oh, Tommy really wants to do this song, which was like, oh, got a few more people lined up. They're going to do more well-known songs, so just put it off a bit more. I reckon another half an hour went by until Pete was just like, hey, man, Tommy really wants to do Jerry was a race car driver. Can you sort it out? I'm like, yeah, I'll see what I can do. So jumped on the YouTubes and sure enough, there it was ready to go.
Tommy the Gun took the stage that fateful balmy night, took a look around, and he knew what he had to do. He whipped out the air bass and entertained the masses.
So I selected Jerry was a race car driver because I know that song like word for word off my heart. Like that is my favorite Primus song. And my old mate convinced me to play air bass while I was doing it. And that was like my second ever time singing karaoke. But honestly, it was just such an amazing moment. Just seeing everybody dance while I'm trying to sing along to the song and play a fake bass at the same time.
I honestly do not believe that the countless dark and stormy cocktails that I had, served by pretty inexperienced bartenders, may I add, had anything to do with how I remember that night. I remember it so clearly, seeing Tommy the Gun channel his inner Les Claypool.
Whilst I was actually playing, like I was just feeling like Les Claypool. I was even trying to replicate that little stomp he does. I was just having so much fun, and just seeing everyone else have so much fun was just so worth it.
The crowd went absolutely wild. And don't just take my word for it. Have a listen to karaoke mastermind Sam eloquently sum up the feeling of those that got to witness such history.
Tommy got up and slayed it like a mad cat.
And man, he is an absolute powerhouse on stage.
And looking back on it, I wonder how Tommy the Gun feels about the lasting impression that he's made on the Darwin entertainment scene, if not the Australian music scene. I wonder if he has any regrets.
I would not change a thing. I would do it again. Only this time I would try to do the stomp more often. I feel like now that I've played air bass to Jerry was a race car driver in a karaoke, I feel like something as spiritual inside me has ascended, and honestly, my life has just never been the same. I am so grateful for that moment.
I feel like I've done the podcast equivalent of clearing the dance floor.
That was hilarious.
That's some hard-hitting journalism, because you turned to me and said, I love Primus. I play them at my DJ nights. Why have you selected the Brown album, though?
Ah, so I was wondering that myself this week.
Oh, great. Cool.
Great way to start out. Nah. So everyone always used to say to me in the shop,
turn that shit down.
No, that was just my neighbors, all right? No. when people would come in and they would talk to me about Primus, like that, they wanted to talk to me about Primus, they would always say that sailing on the seas, I can never say that. All right, sailing on the seas of cheese, they would always put that as their favorite album. And it's only got Jerry Was a Race Car Driver on it, I think. That's the main standout for me on there. One test that I would put everything through, basically, when I was in the store, and because I had time because I was sitting there all day, was that if I would cast an album, yeah, it would pass the test if I could get from the first song to the last song. So I could play it from back to back. And I could do that with that album. That one I did multiple times, play it from start to finish. The only thing would be The Return of Sellington Willoughby. That one, I brought it up because, so I recommended this album to Pedro or Pete that you just had heard on that, what are we calling that thing that you just...
My Pulitzer Prize submission.
Yeah, right, that. Anyway, I recommended the Brown album to him, and I reckon he didn't make it past that first song. Also, because I knew that you were gonna say that you didn't like Primus, I went and tried to look up all the negative feedback that could possibly come out of, you know, people not understanding Primus and stuff. So I looked it up, and there's some people, most of the comments about that song are that people don't even call it a song. They're like, it's not even a song. It's just like him talking shit like the whole time. And yeah, that's sort of true.
If not entirely true.
It's apparently the best thing I saw about it, what it actually means. Oh, some people are saying it's political and all of this stuff, but also that it speaks to you. You're supposed to listen to it when you're high because it sort of speaks to your paranoia. And he starts to talk to you and go like, there's like a line in there that says something about the person next to you and all of that stuff. But yeah, it's just like if you were high, maybe. I think I always get paranoid. So yeah, I think I could probably understand that sort of part of that song.
Yeah, I never know how to take those songs where it's like, oh, if you listen to this when you're fucked up. It's like, well, what's it like when I'm sober? And it's like, oh,
yeah,
I agree. You hang out with me when you're fucked up. I rule. It's like, sober, I'm a pain in the ass. It's like, well, you're not that cool. Then if you haven't heard the song, I've got a grab of it here.
The person standing next to you may not be who they appear to be. So take precautions.
I actually think that's kind of cool because it's an opening track. So you give it some leeway. It's like, all right, you're setting up the album. Most of the albums we've talked about on this podcast are just bands, you know, with a track called Intro, and it's just them saying their own band name or making some
I heard
noises.
You ranting about that on some other episode. I can't remember. Yeah. And did you say you got into an argument with the other guy? Like, a lot happened at that party, obviously, because
that guy who sung Limp Bizkit.
I just met him that night too, and I was like thinking, yeah, I know that would have turned into an argument because he looked like I don't think that guy would have taken no for an answer. Like,
I've been fighting with a lot of people at parties, mostly about how shit The Northman is or how shit the movie Dune is.
Oh, really?
I hate him.
I haven't seen it yet. I saw the original, but I've been too chicken to watch the new one, and I've heard mixed reviews on that too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mine's 100%. It sucks. But everyone I've spoken to who likes it is like, well, I read the books. I was like, well, fuck you for having an attention span, all right?
Everyone else in my family has read the books except me.
Some of us just like to eat spicy lentils and drink heaps of pre-workout, all right, guys?
Yeah, exactly, the spicy lentils, man.
But I can tell you what didn't connect with this album for me. It is 100% the lyrics, because what I don't like is I feel like, and this is totally on me, I really connect with like those
very emotional songs or songs where the singer is trying to express something or convey something. But most of Les Claypool's lyrics are about like some sort of like, you know, street boxer or some bare-knuckled fighter or something like that, you know. I've actually gone through a bunch of the songs on this album in particular. The amount of times he says he is insane. So he'd known the game of fisticuffs had always treated him right, you know, or he was a mighty golden boy, as gold as you've ever seen. He looked up to me when I asked. He said he had a steady job and watched what he spent. He thought that no one would mind. Fucking Kalamazoo, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, got a girl, wears her toenails long, drives a red Barracuda, singing Meatpacker songs.
Oh, that's awesome.
I can't connect with that on any sort of emotional level.
Yeah, but there's plenty of that there's plenty of that stuff out there if you want to go do that. I think it's good that there's a break from that with this group, and you can find some groups that don't do that, that don't get emotional about everything, and that, like, that's a bit of an eye roll for me. A lot of times it's like, I get it. Yeah, you're being very vulnerable now, but just sometimes it just feels a bit lame to do that.
I like it when you can see the people's experience and personality in their songs, whether it's like an earnest, vulnerable song or something that's happened to them, whatever. That's the tricky part for Les Claypool, because he is that dude. Like, he is the dude from Primus. He is an eccentric, creative guy with a bizarre sense of humor that served him really, really well. So, like, that is him in his songs. That experimentation with the drums and song structure and sounds and all that, that is him. And so I'm like, oh, I wish he put more of himself in those songs. It's like, well, he did. You just didn't connect with it. And I think that's because I'm not very good at, like, instruments and slapping and bass and all that technical stuff. I can't really vibe with too well. So I go to the lyrics. I'm like, oh, you're just singing about strangers that I don't think you've even met. I think you've made them up.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, they're good points and stuff. But I'm going to just say, you're saying this as though lyrics are the only way you can connect emotionally and everything as well. I think you can do that with instruments. And I think he talks more through his bass than his lyrics. Actually, the singing and all of that comes second to the bass. And the whole, like, yeah, I hate the word vibe, but yeah. But yeah, that's like the whole thing with Primus. And yeah, he's made up all these characters and stuff. I think there's some artists around, like, okay, if we compared it to, like, Terry Pratchett, right?
Okay. You've got, like, this is taking a turn I did not expect.
I know this is good. Stay with me.
Oh, I'm there. All
right. You've got Discworld and everything. He's completely created a whole world and everything. If you think of, like, Primus, you've got a whole world, and it's full of fucking cheese and these random characters and fucking beef and burgers or some shit, and you know what the sound of that thing is, and you know that this is the type of thing that could fit into that, and he's created something there. I think that was the other thing I think I learned about being in the record store, was like, the thing that stands out about good sort of bands to me is the personality of them as well. If they actually have pushed that through their music, and you know it straight away. You know that's a Primus sound. From the subject matter, you know that's a Primus song.
Primus for me is, like, musically, I get it. I don't particularly love that style. Maybe if I had, like, an older brother who grew up in the 90s, I'd be like, that would be my jam, or an older sister. But they have really great musical parts, and then they just take me out of it with their lyrics. And probably the best example of that, and it's not on this album, it's called Too Many Puppies. How cool is this riff? And then he just starts talking about puppies. See, that riff, I could see you bobbing your head along, but then it gets to the lyrics and I could see your eyebrow raise up, like, wait, what's he saying? You know, like, that's how I feel. I'm like, fucking just talk about past trauma. Come on, you know?
Hey, I can see you've learned nothing this whole podcast. No,
84 episodes, I haven't learned anything. What is it about Bob's Party Time Lounge that you really, really like?
You Yeah, that one's just like a repetitive song, and that one starts off, the start of it is like it's got the clinking glasses and everything too, eh?
Let's just say yes. Although I have done my research on this album, so I've got a few things for you.
Okay.
Yeah, so this album has two singles, right? Shake Hands With Beef and Over The Falls. Well, the label wanted Over The Falls to be the first single. So did Les, in a way, but Les was like, you know what? Some fans are going to be really critical because we've just got this new drummer called Brain. And if we release a mellow song, having just changed drummers, people are going to be like, oh, you've softened. This isn't what we want. You've really changed your sound. This is boring. So they had to go with Shake Hands With Beef, which was a bit of a concern because Les was like, people are going to think this is about masturbation because they have that song about beavers or something that's about masturbation.
Oh, yeah. Winona's Beaver.
He's like, oh, it's actually not about that. It's more about childhood nostalgia. And I read the lyrics and it wasn't. I didn't get that, but that's what Les says. And he wrote the song, so I'm not going to argue with him. So given that this was Brain's sort of first album, they were like, well, we got to make a statement. It's a bit rough given how they recorded the drums because Les wanted to record the drums where he put a mic right behind the drummer's head and then he put a sock over it. So it was just this muffled sound, you know, which makes this album fucking so hard to run to. I felt so disoriented. I felt like something was in my inner ear and it was just, I had vertigo running around. It was a nightmare to exercise to. I hated it. But this wasn't Brain's first recording with the band. Do you know what was?
I think he was on this. He was on Antipop. And I think he did South Park, the intro for South Park.
You've got it.
That's how I introduce Primus to people actually who don't know anything about Primus. So I go, oh, you know South Park, the intro? Yeah, they did that.
They did that and it was a longer version. But the network were like, we like this song, but we want it to be a bit more upbeat and shorter. So the South Park guys, they didn't have much money. They didn't want Primus to go to all that effort and re-record it. So they just sped it up. But then they had to re-record Les's vocals because it sounded like a chipmunk. So they just went backstage at a show and just like into a dictaphone. He just did it. Really lo-fi, really DIY, really, really cool. And just recently, South Park, I think, had their 25th anniversary concert with Les Claypool and I think a bunch of the other Primus guys on stage doing South Park songs from the show and the movies.
Oh, cool.
They closed with America Fuck Yeah. It's pretty good.
They actually play a lot of stuff through South Park, don't they? It's not just the intro, isn't it?
I think they did like the Mephisto and Kevin song. And I've been listening to Primus for years and years because I was on South Park from the first season. I saw it on SBS, Cartman Gets an Anal Probe, and was all in. So I've heard Primus fucking hundreds of times, but still never ever followed up because, like you said, they've created this world full of characters and steak and cheese and beef and beavers. And I was like, oh, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. And I feel like Metallica said, you know, your lifestyle determines your death style. And I feel like Primus album style will determine my death style. It's like choosing your own adventure. And if I went in on Antipop first, I'd be like, oh, I actually really hate this. Or I love this. Or, you know, if I went on like that Cheese Ocean album, whatever it's called, maybe I would have loved it.
Yeah, I only just tried listening to Antipop and I don't know. I don't think I would start there. I think it sounds really clean, I think, compared to, oh, well, Brown album, it sounds weird actually because me and my sister were actually talking about it the other day. I was like, why do you like Brown album? Because she also likes it. And I said, there's a lot of people, again, I was looking up negative comments. So I was, the other thing I saw was people hated it because of the tone of the drums and it sounding like, I don't know, I think it's like pushed back, like a massive room it sounds like. It sort of sounds really sort of lost. Like it's really echoey, I think. But yeah, my sister, her input was that at the time, she thinks that there's nothing else that sounded like Primus and the way they recorded it was just completely different to everyone else.
She's spot on because Brain said, you know, we should go totally opposite. Just use bottom sounding kit. That's a quote. And let's go directly to tape. Let's not use any digital stuff. You know, let's go really balls out, heavy, big groove, kind of distressed sound and make this album. And we'll call it the Brown album. And then they just approached it totally the opposite of everything they did before. So your sister is a genius.
Yeah.
And I did read some chapters of Les Claypool's book. You know, you're looking up negative comments. I'm actually going to the main man there. And here's what he said about the Brown album. He's like, well, to the label, the Brown album was not a success. It was a step backwards. And it was kind of the first time in the press where we had gotten a little bit beat up for the sonic quality of a record. So it started being suggested that we start working with a producer to get someone in there that could help us put the record together and make it sound a little bit better. It was the first time label intervention happened.
So Antipop comes after it, doesn't it? I think. And that's why it sounds so clean in comparison. I didn't start on Brown album though. Maybe that's why I just like it. Maybe I had to like warm up to it as well. And maybe if you're first time hearing Primus, it's probably not a good start.
Thank you so much.
I gave you like the worst album to start on. I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't know. I didn't know how much of Primus you'd listen to. And I thought you just went, oh, go and tell me what your favorite album is. And that's why I picked it. And I didn't know this was going to be a whole introduce us to fucking Primus. And I feel like I failed you now. And I probably would have started with Pork Soda.
You did not fail. I have a respect for them. I have an appreciation for them. I get their fans.
It's not enough. It's not enough for me, man. No,
I thought it was just a bunch of bass nerds being like, I like how he goes bum 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 bum. Like, I just thought it was just like, I'm like, what about the other songs? I actually think a lot of the guitar work is fucking incredible in these songs.
Well, okay, if I bring up that, I don't know who the guitarist would be on that one, but because you know King Crimson, right?
Yes, I know King Crimson.
Yeah, King Crimson. So Telehun Genji, and he does a cover of it. But yeah, his bass is amazing and he's like the most solid fucking thing on there. And then the guitar is just like that rhythm, he cannot fucking hold that rhythm down and it's just a disaster. I'm like, oh, if Claypool wasn't there, this would be a complete mess. And I mean, it's cool because it's like live and everything's a bit messy and everything. But yeah, that's the only way they're getting through that song.
How cool would it have been if Les Claypool actually joined Metallica?
Oh, yeah. Do you know how many times I tell people that story? I'm like, what if he did? How cool would Metallica be?
Les went to high school with Kirk and I think they were just like swapping albums and talking about bands. And
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. And Kirk wanted Les to sing in his high school band because like Les was always talking about songs, but Les was too embarrassed to sing in a real band. They often finish their sets with Master of Puppets, Primus that is. Your musical knowledge, and you've already sort of flexed it a little bit, is incredible. You mentioned your favorite band is a band called Gong. Is that right?
Yeah.
Not a band I'm familiar with. I've got a little grab here. I thought, wow, Roxy has this really eclectic music taste that's probably beyond your years because the music you reference is wild.
I know. I was like, I was right. When I was feeling that, I'm like, fuck, I'm putting really old shit on here. And this is like, I blame my parents for this shit.
Let me test your ears. What I've done is I've made covers of songs that you probably will know and I've added slap bass to them.
Okay,
and I've distorted it and I've fucked up the sound. But I think all your years listening to Primus and Gong should have tuned your ears for you to be able to guess what these songs are. You ready to have a go?
All right. Yeah, okay.
First one.
Sabbath and... I can't remember the name of the song. Paranoid?
Yeah!
Hey.
Just imagine Tommy the Gun air bassing this. See, you smashed it.
You started off easy, eh?
Yep. Next one. Do you have any idea?
Nah, what the fuck is that?
I'm sorry. That's what Primus sounds like to me.
I love if that was a Primus song and I couldn't pick it.
It was this.
Welcome to the what the fuck? Such a lovely place. Wait, can I hear it? Can I hear your version again?
Of course.
Okay, all right, yeah.
This is why I couldn't volunteer at the local soup kitchen because I was spending hours making these slap bass covers. This next one, good luck.
Oh, Is that Darude Sandstorm?
Yeah!
How did you make it sound like a trumpet? I swear it sounded like a trumpet.
Some people are born with such skills. Here's the original if you don't know it, and you fucking should know it. Two more. Here we go. If someone told you that was a Primus song, would you believe it? Like they're back. I reckon you would.
They are still playing, but anyway, yeah, keep going.
Do you know what that is?
No, I have no idea.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even
most of these songs I've actually done at karaoke.
Oh yeah, that would make sense, that one.
Last one. Finish strong. You should get this. I put the most amount of effort into this. Which is not saying much.
More than this. Roxy Music.
Yeah, yeah!
How random.
Why were Roxy Music one of the best bands you've ever seen live?
I think they're one of those groups that get better as they get older.
I'd love to be in one of those one day.
Yep, fine wine, yep.
I'm like a half-eaten apple. If you leave it on the bench for 30 minutes, it's like brown and crusty. It's like, what happened to this apple? It was so good a minute ago.
I think Brian Ferry, the singer, he's an awesome writer. And like half the time, if you do like lyrics and stuff, as you stated before, if you do like that stuff, I reckon go and listen to them. I don't know, some of his stuff, I'm just like, how the fuck did he even come up with this stuff? It's just amazing. And when you hear their first album, I think it was just titled Roxy Music. It's just the messiest shit ever, but the songs are really good. The songwriting is amazing. And then you can, later on, in my family, we used to watch live music. Well, a lot of live bands, we just sit around and watch that.
Live at the Apollo?
Yeah, that's the one. That one is awesome. I'd heard all the Roxy Music songs and they're sort of glam rock in the beginning, very glam rock. And then they sort of, I think when he's older, he's not doing that. He sort of matures and he starts wearing suits and all of this stuff. But everything starts to sound cleaner and everything. Because it's cleaned up, it brings out the songwriting even more. Just the tightest fucking thing I've ever seen. And they've got the backing singers and everything on there, and they've got costume changes and stuff, and they've got like a massive band on stage. And yeah, and it's just like the most, it was like exactly how everything should have sounded.
How many songs about beef or steak did they have?
They might be lacking in that area, but no, I'm kidding.
Did you fly to Melbourne for that show?
Yeah. So at the same time, I watched Iron Maiden and I didn't like that concert that much. I thought it was a bit, okay. I've just gone on about Roxy Music's live, watching them live on DVD. And I also watched, I'm not into Iron Maiden that much. So there's a whole thing between people who like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest, and me and my sister are Judas Priest. Yeah, I just could never get into Iron Maiden. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. There's like two songs that I sort of know, and I've tried to listen to other stuff. Everyone says Power Slave and all that, and I'm like, I don't get it. And the two songs that I do sort of know of theirs that I like, I think it might be again because I've watched the video clips of them before as well, and that's how I was introduced to them. They were just a massive disappointment to me. And, you know, when sometimes, I think I brought up Regurgitator like seeing them live, I was like, okay, I'm going to make myself go to Regurgitator because, I don't know, people go on about them. I only knew that, what is that one song formerly known as?
You won't see me at parties, babe. I was kicked out of my year 9 class for singing that over and over
again.
Yeah,
I love that fucking song. So I wanted them to be good. I was like, no, if they've got one song like that, they have to be good. Anyway, I listened to the, because they put out before they had that live concert here, they had a mix of what they were actually going to play on Spotify. They had a playlist of it. And so I listened to that. And then I couldn't get into like, what's it called? Polyester Girl. And I was like, what is the big deal about this song? I hate it. Like, it's like the worst thing I've ever heard. And then I think they actually did win me over on that when I saw them live. And then, I don't know, it's just energy, their energy in that. And it's like, they've only got 3 people. Also, that's pretty impressive as well, 3 people bands as well. And that's what Primus is. So, but, yeah, it's like you can actually create such a massive sound from only having that few members is pretty impressive as well.
When you're at these shows, are you taking – like photos or videos on your high-tech phone?
Man, leave my phone alone. No, I already give it enough shit the other day. No.
Well, no, this is where we truly bonded because I'm used to being at events or parties because I'm a socialite and just knowing I've got the shittest phone. Like, I had some really cool, like, dude come up to me and wanted to airdrop me something and I was like, I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a Motorola G30 Power. And when I made a joke about it, because I was using the flashlight, as I often do, I shake it and it's got a flashlight feature.
Oh, that's cool.
You were like, whoa, that's so cool. I've got a Telstra phone that burns when I put WhatsApp on it.
I forgot. Did you show me that flashlight feature? And that was impressive to me.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? I just got impressed again by it.
So for listeners, the Motorola G30 Power is basically just a battery with a screen loosely sticky taped to it.
Mine is barely a battery though. Mine's a screen and like sometimes it thinks about a battery.
Yeah, and I thought, you know what? Something's going to stick up for these fucking terrible phones because if I break my phone, I don't care. I'm like, well, it's like $300 from Officeworks. I'll get another one. I don't really care. It's so easy. If an iPhone user misplaces their phone for 10 minutes, watch them have the biggest like panic attack and declare bankruptcy straight away.
Yeah, that's why I went to the shittiest phone because I was just like, I'm sick of having this like extreme attachment to this fucking thing. And like, yeah, your whole life falls apart and you've like linked up everything. I mean, to be fair though, I still had to link up everything to this shitty phone. So I'm like, I don't actually think I won out of this anyway. Like I'm doing the same thing and this thing's going to die on me and I'm really going to lose everything.
Well, I have tried to sell the Motorola G30 Power to you, which brings us to our sponsor today. I've reached out to Motorola and I said, look, let me write a song for you to really preach like just how good the G30 Power is. Here's your $35,000. Just do with it as you want. You know, do you know how many fucking Motorola G30 Powers you could buy with $35,000? Oh, at least 40,000 of them. So here is my ad for the Motorola G30 Power. Well, I got this great phone and it's got a cool flashlight feature. And it's got an SD card reader for easy file transfer. And so what if I have to reset it 2 to 3 times a week? And the camera's dog shit while it always holds charge. And baby, that's all that I want. Please don't make fun of my Motorola. How can you love? $100 from Officeworks. And I don't care that your camera fucking freezes and I can't take photos. Bloody love your Motorola. G30 Power for life. Roxy, thank you so much. That brings us to the end.
I was just getting used to this.
Come back anytime.
what would you like to say to the listeners who are on the fence about Primus or they're about to dip their toe into the Primus world?
Okay, I would say don't start with the Brown album, apparently. work up to that and then maybe start with Pork Soda or the one that everyone always goes on about, Sailing the Seas of Cheese. And I still can't say that fucking name after all this time.
Frizzle Fry gets a lot of props as well.
I don't really get it.
Get fucked, Frizzle Fry fans.
I think there's a lot of references to Frizzle Fry throughout their career, so maybe that's why that's an important one. But the other thing I was going to mention, I realized that I've said it so many times throughout this whole episode, is that most of my introductions for things, well, for weird things, were through video clips. And so I'm wondering, maybe that's also another thing that's a good introduction to music as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say if it's good enough for Tom Waits, it's good enough for the rest of us. Tom Waits has said that Brown album is his favourite Primus record.
Yay.
Because it sounds like it needs a good wash.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I was going to bring up. I forgot about this. Yeah, that's the other thing people bring up is that it just sounds brown.
Yeah, no, that is
yeah,
true.
Yeah, how do you accomplish the sound, like this, the sound of a colour? And yeah, and I think they did that.
And like the corduroy vibe of the front cover.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say it's pretty bland front cover, isn't it? And it's just brown, so...
It's just 90s. Like that was sort of high art back then.
But the rest of them have like this claymation style everything. Well, that's a lot of claymation in Primus. So I don't know. They've changed it for brown and they've gone and made it just brown.
They've done a bunch of stuff with Tom Waits. Like Les Claypool, I think they hang out a lot together. I actually watched a fucking fly fishing documentary that Les Claypool was in as well, by the way. Like I don't know. Like I tried to go really deep into the mind of Les Claypool. It was a struggle. But Brain has also played drums on Tom Waits' stuff and a bunch of Buckethead
albums. Yeah, I was going to say. And the other thing I was going to say was because I was listening to, or earlier this week I was listening to Primus, and I think I have to bring up that Mighty Boosh, the crimping and stuff, I swear it's so ripped off Primus. Like it just sounds like the ramblings of Claypool a little bit. Also, I think he is actually working with him now, or recently at least. I think he was working with Noel Fielding on some stuff, but I don't know if I made that up. Should check.
I feel like if you're sort of an eccentric artist in the UK, you just end up on like quiz shows and panel TV because maybe it's so small. Whereas in America, you can just like operate in this fucking weirdo landscape full of Tom Waits and the Flaming Lips and Buckethead. You don't get a primetime TV show. You don't become a judge on Britain's Got Talent, but you can feature on Buckethead's 65th album for the year. And Primus seemed to be really well respected and hang out with a bunch of really creative people. Brain also played drums on Chinese Democracy by Guns N' Roses.
Ah, yeah, okay.
And I challenge you, Roxy, name one song from Chinese Democracy.
I can't.
No one can.
Oh, really?
That's my challenge to all listeners. Just try and name one. Like, I'll even let you look it up. You won't be able to remember it. By the time you look at it, it doesn't absorb into your brain.
Even if I'm reading it to you, I'm like, I can't. This is not happening for some reason.
Thank you so much for joining us, Roxy. I hope you had an awesome time. It's been great to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
No. Thank you for actually reading negative comments about an album that you absolutely love to try and get into my head.
Yeah, right.